Blog Talk Radio.
Now I want everybody to clap your hands in this place.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, we want to bring to you Memphis' own. The world's been waiting on it, and now the wait is finally over. Chantel.
Trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes.
Listen, if you can hear me over the airwaves, if you can walk from your living room to your kitchen, if you can say hallelujah, if you can praise God, if you can remember just 3 seconds ago, if you can remember what you ate last week, listen, he is in the fixing business. He fixed me from who I used to be to who he wants me to be. The thing is, we got to allow him to fix it the way he wants it fixed. Because we done tried to fix some situations in our lifetimes, and sometimes they worked out just momentarily, and then sometimes we got caught up and we had to keep on calling out to God anyway. So glory to God. Hallelujah. This is your Fix It Six, and I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil, where we keep it real. We keep it with the word. Amen. Glory to God. This is MCI Ministry Radio. As always, I'd like to give a shout out to the First Lady of MCI Ministry Radio, Apostle Carolyn McNeil, my overseer, my wife, my best friend, my lovey-dub, and a whole lot of other things. Amen. Glory to God. I thank her for so much. She does so much behind the scenes, so much for the ministry, so much for our lifestyle, so much in the battlefield. Listen, we got to understand that there's people standing on the battlefield for us. There are people interceding for in prayer for us. And at 12 o'clock, we have to intercede and pray for the nations. You don't have to. I'm just asking you to join in with us for prayer for the nations. There's so much going on in the world, so much deception. It's so many people, just the world is just in chaos. It's everything the Bible said it would be at the end of days. Amen. But I didn't say that for us to worry, because the Bible tells us not to worry. God is on our side. So before I go any further, let's give praise to the Most High God. Father God, we thank you for what you're allowing us to do. We thank you for the assignment that you have given us on this evening. We thank you for the breath of fresh air that you have given us today. We thank you for our health and strength and our well-being. We thank you for trusting in us enough to give us another day, enough that you know we will do what you have called us to do. Father, we ask you to bless our families and friends. And Father, we ask you to bless those that are less fortunate than us. Send someone their way with your word. Send someone with your word, with your power, with your anointing, filled with the Holy Ghost to bring the lost closer to you. Let them be a beacon light in a dark place, God. Bless our family, friends, loved ones, children, grandchildren, neighbors, even our enemies on today, God, because we have to forgive like you forgave us, and forgive us on a daily basis, because no one is perfect and we all fall short on a daily basis. So I thank you, God. I thank you for choosing me. I thank you for pulling me out of the gutter. I thank you for pulling me out of the garbage can. I thank you for taking me out of the darkness. I thank you for taking me out of those filthy, nasty places that I was, even not just physically in my body, but in my mind. Those garbage, those nasty things that came out of my mouth, those thoughts that I had that had nothing to do with you. I thank you for rearranging my walk, rearranging my way that I talk, rearranging my thinking patterns, giving me a renewing of a new mind. And I glorify you. I worship you and I praise you. You are the Lord of Lords, the creator of all things that are good, the moon, the stars, the oceans, the sea. You are my Alpha and my Omega. And I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for another day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I was meditating earlier this morning, and I was sitting here, and I was just saying, wow. And the Lord allowed me to think about how we used to allow people to use us, even when we knew they was using us. Those who deceived us, lied to us, borrowed your money knowing they wasn't going to pay it back. Say they was in love with you and know they was just in lust with you. Whatever it was, however, just to be accepted, just to be a part of, you know what I mean? You joined a group of people that you know you really didn't feel comfortable with. You never felt comfortable around them. But I'm here to tell you that God wants to use us. And if anybody's going to use me, I want it to be the Lord. If anybody is going to use me, if I'm going to give my free will up, if I'm going to give my life and put my life on the line for anybody, it has to be Jesus, because he put his life on the cross for me. Oh, my God. Do you ever sit and think about Jesus? I mean, Jesus, he never did anything wrong to nobody. He was born in the manger. Born to a carpenter, born to Mary the Virgin. And just think about all the trials and tribulations he went through. Think about the 40 days and 40 nights that the enemy tempted him in the wilderness. Think about the people who lied and deceived and spit on him and did all those foul things to him. and he still gave his life up even for them on the cross while they was gambling for his clothes. He said, even them, Father. Jesus is magnificent. He gave, listen, I never know if people sit and really think from within. Allow your spirit to feel some of his pain and feel some of his suffering. But he still did what he had to do for you and I to have eternal life, everlasting life. There's people waiting for us to do what we're supposed to do so they can meet Jesus, so they can get to know Jesus, so they can have the same blessings, the same everlasting life that we have. How often I just say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Because without you, I would have been a wreck. I would have been just a train going nowhere fast, headed for destruction. Thank you for your resurrecting powers. Thank you for restoring me to a place that you know and you said that I should be. I'm going to be coming from the book of Jeremiah this evening, chapter 29. And I'm going to just read from verses 9 through 13. I will not keep you long this evening. I want us to fellowship one with another, and I want us to take in God's word, take in God's seed on this evening, and not just take it in, but share it with someone. Share it with someone who don't know Christ. Share it with someone who might have and be in a backslidden position, someone who once was saved, but they're just not living a saved life. And we're not judging because we don't do that. We're not pointing fingers, but we want to take God's seed and plant it in their lives and let God water it and let God put the right fertilizer in it so that individuals, their families, their loved ones can grow up to be kingdom builders like we are. Amen. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into a place whence I have caused you to be carried away captive. Hallelujah. I want to focus on verses 13 and 14. And ye shall seek me and find me. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Not just, Father, is you there? Father, do you hear me? Oh, praise his name. Oh, glory to God. All your heart, all that we have, all our being. You ever call out for God so bad, you don't know why the tears is going down your face. You don't know why you're crying and you're clenching and you're just screaming his name. I need you, Jesus, right now. There is a burden in my heart and I can't get through it by myself. I need you, Jesus. No one else. I can't go to no one else with this situation. This situation is the only, you are the only one can bring me through this. God wants us to seek him out like never before, like he was a treasure. And someone gave you a map to the treasure hunt, and you go all out. You spend all your money buying supplies. You buy this truck. You buy this land. You do everything you can. Think you can have everything you ever need. But everything we need is in Christ Jesus. If we seek him out like our treasure. I just want to throw a thought on how I looked at some of this. Because the promises of God is like pepper. The pages of scripture like crystal droplets of sparkling rain, sprinkling life into a dry, dusty desert. Now, just picture it with me, and scattering hope into the hearts of all God's people. Because the promises of God tumble and glimmer through the word of God like a myriad of twinkling stars peeping through the glowing skies of doubt and sorrow, refreshing the soul, giving hope to the faint-hearted, and providing encouragement to the weary. The promises of God does these things. Context of this particular verse is Israel's Babylonian captivity and the eventual restoration and redemption. To me, it's like a precious verse, and it states an eternal principle and a timeless promise that the Lord is ever near to all who seek him. We got to remember that part. If you're not seeking God, don't think he's everywhere all the time. But to get things activated, to get things done. Listen, when your car breaks down, you call out for a mechanic. Your lights go out, you call out for an electrician. Your stove go out, you call for the appliance guy. Listen, when things go haywire in our lives, we call Jesus. When things is good, we thank Jesus. When things is just so confusing, he is the ultimate source. There's nothing he doesn't know. There's nothing he can't fix. And if you call him, seek him, cry out for him, and just wait on his answer. Wait on his solution. Build you a relationship with Christ like none other. Build a relationship that you can feel his presence when he just right by you. You ever know Jesus is in just near you? You could just feel that. You just know that was nothing else but Christ. And people looking at you like, what's wrong with you? And you sitting there smiling. Your insides is like jelly. Jesus just paid me a personal visit. He either wants to talk to me. He wants me to do something. So now I got to get away from the nonsense and spend time. And what I mean by nonsense, I got to turn the TV off. I got to turn the radio off. I got to put the Facebook down. I got to put the games down. I got to get in my word. I have to get in my word. I have to get in my fetus position and worship. I have to get naked before God and hear what he's saying to me. What promises did you make to me? What have I asked you for that I know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is going to take care of it? He's going to take care of it. He is going to take care of it. Listen. He is ever near to us who seek him. And us, those of us that search for him day in and day out in the middle of the day at work. You ever be at work and you're doing something, and this has happened to me. You're doing something and you're doing whatever you're doing and because I'm in the kitchen and I'm prepping things. And I just had a moment where I just stopped and just talk to Jesus. Didn't know when I stopped. Didn't know what the conversation was about. But I was in a state of being where our spirits is entwined. Either he was saying something to me or I was speaking to him in the spirit. Because whatever I'm doing through the day, no matter what is going on in my life, good or bad, I need to make sure that at my right-hand side is Jesus. I need to be able to put my hand out, and he grasps my hand. I need to know that Jesus is ever present in my life. I can't take those chances without Jesus being in my life. I can't take chances of some false prophet or some false word or some fake person coming and telling me, thus saith the Lord, this, thus. I need to know for myself. What is God saying to me? Himself. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with prophecy. I'm not saying nothing wrong with prophets. But if you open up the Bible, you'll get every prophecy you need. If you seek his face, if you seek his face, if we seek his face, if we just let these words marinate in our spirit, this is not stories in a book. This is not Cinderella. This is not the Hunchback of Notre Dame. This is life. Life more abundant. This is health and wisdom and strength and power and encouragement. This is everything I need to get through another day. This is everything I need to pray for somebody else to get through. This is everything I need to be able to resurrect life in someone that's dying. This is everything I need to know, because the author of this book made promises to me, made promises to us, and he will keep them. As long as we seek him, we will find him. And when we shall search for him, we got to do it with all our heart. When the baby's crying, just rock her and say, Lord, I'm searching for you. I got the baby, but I'm searching for you. The boss is getting on your nerve. Lord, I'm still searching for you, because I need peace of mind to focus on the things of God. See, we need that peace of mind. When we're in the midst of chaos and things being stirred all up, it's hard to hear from God. And I know everybody's relationship with God is different. And I'm not saying I know everything about your relationship with God. I'm not saying that you don't have a relationship with God. I'm not saying you don't hear from God. I'm just speaking in a sense of us staying connected to the source. Plug in to the source, because Jesus is the plug. He is the source of life, the source of healing, the source of prosperity and wealth and knowledge and understanding. He is the source. And we should be plugging in daily. Plugging in daily. Because as we read on, we found out that Israel had been carried into captivity as a consequence of their sin and the things that was not pleasing to God. Amen. And the people are encouraged by Jeremiah to prepare for a prolonged time in Babylon. They were exhorted to build houses, grow crops, get married, have children, because God had ordained that the punishment they justly deserved would last for 70 years. And some would even die in the land of their captivity. But God has plans for his people. God has plans for us. This is not no spooky story. This is not nothing to scare you away from Jesus. They had it coming. Some of the things I go through, I had it coming. Some of the spankings that Christ give me, I deserve it. Some of the things that I had to go through to get through, I deserve it. Because the one thing I know about God, he's not going to punish me or chastise me for no apparent reason. I deserve it. And when he does that, it makes me stronger, it makes me better, and it makes me realize I can't do that again. Because I don't know if you've ever been punished by Jesus. I don't know how. When that famine comes in, that lack comes in, holes in your pocket, holes in your socks, holes in your hat, everything you put, nothing. Listen, Jesus is real. His love for us is real. But as a natural father, when he punishes you for being bad, Jesus punishes us too. But that doesn't say he doesn't love us. He wants us to use him, call on him, worship him, praise him, give him thanks on a daily basis. Thank you for chastising me, Dad. I know I deserve it, if I be honest with myself. I know I shouldn't have thought what I thought. I know I shouldn't have cussed when I know I ain't got no business playing lottery tickets. I know I ain't got no business being angry like that. I know. But because you did what you did, it just showed me that you love me. Because, see, he could have easily let me stay out there in my mess. And most of the time, do you think people who let you stay in your nonsense love you? People who come looking for you, seek you, they do that out of love. They don't want harm coming to us. And that's Jesus. Jesus loves us. They had that coming. And they had to do that for 70 years. Can you? No, I ain't going to say. I don't want to try to imagine that. I don't want to try to imagine that. And some would even die in their land of captivity. But as God's people, he has plans for us. Scripture says he had plans for their good and not their harm. He had plans to prosper them. He has plans to prosper us and to give us secure future and a great hope. He has plans for us. God loves us. Oh, my God, if we just stop fighting him. And stop thinking that we can do it by ourselves and stop thinking that we don't need. See, it's a lot of times we allow other people to brainwash. What have God done for you lately? Why are you going through what you're going through? If God had it, he's supposed to be a good guy. He's supposed to be, those are the people of the world, and those are the people who really don't know God. Amen? If you know God, and you know what he's already done for you, and you know what he's promised to do for you, and you know his power, and you know his presence, and you know he's not a man that he shall lie, then how can someone come and tell us that God is not real? They just want your money at the church. Them pastors just riding around with big cars, big old houses, but they wasn't there when the pastor had to tie the muffler to their car. They wasn't there when the pastor had to get on the bus and travel up the highway and byway, didn't have food to eat. They wasn't there when the pastor had to wear the same clothes to every service. They wasn't there when the pastor had to go through whatever the pastor had to go through. See, it's a process serving God. The Bible never said it was going to be easy. But he never will leave us nor forsake us. This is such a season to be blessed in. And also, if we be honest with ourselves, it could be a lot worse. And we have to think about the times when Jesus just kept on blessing us. We are winners. And we have no room to complain. Amen. We ought to be worshiping God, thanking God. We ought to be thankful that he wants to use us. How many of us know that God has turned things around for us many times? I just know I love him. I'm going to play a song, and we'll be right back.
Don't know what I've been through. Let me share my story with you.
Yes.
All the things that he brought me through. My stormy days and my rainy days. You don't know all the tears I've cried.
Yes.
The things I've kept bottled up inside. Trying my best to be strong. Waiting on God.
Yes.
And holding on.
Sometimes we need to go back to those first chapters before Christ, the introduction of Christ, the getting to know Christ, the falling away for Christ, the coming back to Christ. We have so many chapters. If we be honest with ourselves, there's so many chapters in our book. But God, oh my God, Jesus is the source, the author and finisher of our faith, the great I am. He is all we truly, truly need in this lifetime. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I sometimes I think I'm a little unprofessional when I do this show because I love worship music. I truly do. And I'm not one to sometimes be able to control when the Spirit hits me, no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, I lock into it and I feel it. I become a part of it. And sometimes I lose myself in it. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing because I try to not get lost in it. But it when I hear something like that and feel the anointing from that song and the words, you know, because we all got a story and nobody knows your story like Jesus. And nobody knows my story like Jesus. And for Jesus to be the one who come, no matter what our story is, how bad, whatever, and comes along and brings us and takes us out of that chapter and start new chapters in our life that is much greater than we ever had. Brung us out of exile. Brung us out of our own exile. Started a new chapter and gave us new land. You know what I mean? Gave us new nations to pray for. Gave us new family members to pray for. Gave us new people to pray for. New neighbors to pray for. He raised us up so we can assist him in raising the dead. He don't need our assistance, but he uses us to raise the dead things. And I was saying those things to say that it's some things just come upon me, and I don't try to be disrespectful or unprofessional doing what I'm doing for the Lord. But I'm just that way. He made me that way. You know, I think like even in the world when music came on, or especially you know music of love songs or whatever, they was passionate to me, and I enjoyed them passionately. It's the same way with worship music. I love it with a passion, and it keeps me, it grips me, and it reminds me that if it was not for Jesus, my story could have been over a long time ago. If it was not for Jesus loving me, not for Jesus sending great people in my way, I have a wife that's a treasure in Christ. I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. I'm not talking fleshly. I'm not talking about, and she's awesome in them areas also, but I'm talking about in the spirit. A woman who prays, fasts, not only for me, but for nations. Spend time studying and reading, praying, hearing from God, and sharing what God says to her with me. Reminding me, man of God, reminding me who you are, sir. Do you know? You can't do this. You shouldn't do that. And I'm open to those things because they're coming from a source that's connected, that's plugged in to Christ Jesus. We have to connect ourselves with people that's connected to Jesus. And I'm not saying that we can't be around people that's not saved, because it's our job to be around them if God put us around them to tell them about the goodness of the Lord. I'm talking about equally yoked with husband, wife, your hangout, you know, your go lunch buddies or however, because we are not supposed to allow them to confirm us to the world, but we are supposed to confirm them to God. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to just get that off. I just didn't want nobody to think that I was being, I just love worship music, and I can listen to it all night. I can listen to it all day, and it does something to me, and I love what it does to me because it allows me to weep my pain away. It allows me to
I cry out to God when I probably wouldn't normally do it. So that's the instrument he gives me. It makes my worship even stronger for him. Amen. So we was talking about how the people of Israel was in captive and they was being punished. And we was talking about how they had to be there for 70 years and some of those people had died. But God has also gave them great hope and a great future. But even in that, during the exile, when they were separated from their promised land, the people were not to forget the Lord. They were to continue to trust him like we are and teach our children, teach their children like we are to do the same. And they were given a very special and encouraging promise. And the promise is this: you will seek me. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's a promise. Promising us. If we do it with all our hearts, we'll find him. God will not be lost to his people. He would not be lost to his people forever. But we must set our hearts to search diligently for the Lord, to search for him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, all our well-being. Because the promise given to Israel by Jeremiah was that those who are really, really earnestly sought the Lord would find him. They would discover him to be the godly way, the singular truth, and the path to perfect peace is with God. They were given the assurance that those who diligently and continuously look for him will find him. We will find him. We will find him to be the only way, the singular truth, the life, the eternal life. Because those of us who sincerely search for the Lord will gain the abundant life he promises. Not faith in man, not faith in your wife, not faith in your husband, not faith in your job, not faith in your car, not faith in your paycheck, not faith in your big house, not faith on the two stars, not faith on the lady on the TV, not faith to the lady, the palm reader, not faith in that. Faith in Christ, Christ Jesus. Some of us got to get back to saying his name boldly. We got to get back to telling Jesus boldly how much we love him. We got to get back to telling Jesus how much we need him continuously. We got to get back to telling Jesus, thank you for what you brought me from. Thank you for keeping you from myself, from me, keeping me from myself, keeping me from my wicked thoughts, my wicked ways. Because, see, I want to be stronger in Christ, so I got to get out the way and let God take my place. I got to let Jesus take my place. I got to let him take my place in my mind. I got to let him take my place in my spirit. He has to take over this vessel. He has to go in like it's a apartment building, a condominium. He has to go in and tear all them raggedy chairs and throw them out. What you got tape for? You can't. Ain't no good. You can't send it because every time you send it, it's going to break. I don't need that in here. I don't need a lying spirit in here. I don't need a deceptive old spirit in here. I don't need to come in. How Jesus going to come in and you filled with alcohol and drugs and all kind of nasty stuff? Jesus ain't coming in that vessel. Jesus loves us. And the majority of Israel have yet to discover that the one whom they are to diligently seek is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah who came to rescue them as well as us at God's, now hear me out. He came to rescue them at his appointed time. As foretold by scripture, he is kinsman, their redeemer, and their dayspring from on high. He is the prophet of the Most High God and a light to lighting the Gentiles. He is the glory of his people, Israel, and the one who will heal their soul, just like ours, and guide their feet, just like ours, into the way of peace, just like us. If we diligently seek him, wholeheartedly seek him, I am a firm believer that in this 24 hours a day, the majority of it we got to spend with Jesus. And what I mean by that, if you got your own business, talk to Jesus about prosperity. If you got kids and you're home, or you're a mother and you're home, ask for peace. Ask for laughter and joy. Because wherever we are, whatever we're doing, if we ask Jesus to be a part of it, the whole situation gets better. Because his will is going to be done anyway. So we might as well be in his presence and ask him to just tag along with me for the day, Jesus, because I don't want to mess up. I don't want to act crazy. I don't want to get out of my flesh. I don't want to be somewhere I ain't got no business. Guide my footsteps. We say, Lord, guide my footsteps. And some of us just take our own course. Been there, done that. We ask God to be our light, and we turn him off when we're ready to do something we know we ain't supposed to do. Well, I ain't taking Jesus in this dark place. Well, he already knew you was going, so. See, and you know, we got to, listen, we can't lie to Jesus. Saying, if you do this for me, Lord, I'll do this. And then, Lord, if you just trust me with this, I'm going to do this. Lord, I'm not going to do this when I go over there. I ain't got no business. If you ain't got no business, hold it, why are you going anyway? Amen. He will heal their souls. He is the Word made flesh who came to dwell among his people and to shine light into their darkened hearts. He came to his own people at his appointed time, but they did not recognize him as the only way. Woo! Ain't that something? They didn't recognize him as the only way. They did not recognize him as the singular truth and life eternal. He was rejected cruelly. Hear me out now. Cruelly crucified. We talked about that at the beginning of the show. As Christians, we already know him as Jesus, our Savior. For Christ died to bridge the unbridgeable gap between a holy God and the imperfect race of man. But like Israel, we are promised a much deeper knowledge and closer communion with him if we will plow into the depths of his word, reach into the heights of his truth, and look steadily into the light of his conscience. Look steadily into the light of his conscience, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Israel, us right here now, we have been promised that when we seek him and search for him with all our heart, we will find him. So I'm saying that to say, let us therefore with wholeness of heart and of spirit, sincerity of soul, not just lip service, and diligence of mind, freely abandon the good to search for the very best, knowing that all who seek the Lord will find him to be rest for our soul. Ain't that something? Oh, if we seek him and find him, he will be peace for all minds, rest for our soul, prosperity for when we were broke. Woo! Our health and strength when we feel weak. Glory to his name. Hallelujah to his name. Raise him up. Call him. Seek him. Seek him out. Don't stop until you find him. Don't stop until his presence is there. Don't stop until you hear, thus saith the Lord. Don't stop till you know without a shadow of a doubt he's there. He's there. We know Jesus is everywhere, but I'm talking about seeking him to have that commune with, seeking him to have that conversation of how do I get wiser, Jesus? How do I do better with my mouth? How do I do better with my attitude? How do I do better with my savings? How do I do better in my marriage? How do I do better with my children? How do I get to know you better? How do I get closer to you? How do I get more like you? How? And he will tell us. He will tell us. We will find him to be rest for our soul. He will be a healing to our heart. He will be a hope for our future. And hear me out. And life everlasting. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. That all who seek him, that is the mission in this season. Hear me out. That is the mission in this season. Seek him out. Search for him. Seek him out. Search for him, because everything that we have been promised in his word, that he will be everything that we need when we search for him with our whole heart, not interrupted. Wife, not now. Kids, not now. Boss, not now. I need to seek Jesus for me to be a better husband. I need to seek Jesus to be a better father. I need to seek Jesus to be a better employee. I need to know, and without a shadow of a doubt, that I'm doing right by Christ first. Because if I'm not doing right by Christ, I'm not doing right by no one. I believe it's Christ's way or the highway. There is no other way. Hallelujah. We got to seek him in this season, y'all. So, with that being said, I want to close. Before I close, I want to thank all our staff. Tuesday night is Bishop Thurman Butler of Undisputed Truth. Wednesday word workout, First Lady Butler of Undisputed Truth. Thursday, Minister Pastor Alona Waters. Amen. Glory to God. Friday, I don't know who be in that booth Friday, but they be praising and worshiping and giving us some good music and giving us a good Friday fruit. Amen to First Lady Apostle Carol McNeil for standing in on Fridays, standing in on Mondays, doing her own thing on Sundays. And from what I heard from a little dove, I don't know if I'm doing this prematurely, but from a little dove that I heard, there might be morning prayers going back on. There might be prayer, power of prayer in the AMs, in the early mornings. I didn't get a time, but I did air hustle that part. Amen. Glory to God. She is wonderful. She is wonderful. So is the rest of the staff. We thank you all for being obedient unto God first and being obedient to the ministry and being obedient to what God has called you and chose us to do. This is not something we woke up and say, well, I want to be on the radio. I want to be a pastor. I want to study. I want to fast. I want to get tormented. I want to be tortured. I want the enemy to come attack me. We did not wake up for this. But as if God called us to do this, he know we can get through it. And in our weakest time, we got to call him and seek him wholeheartedly. Amen. So I just want us to, if I'm allowed to, just little prayer that I put together, and then I'll do that, and then I'll close out with prayer if it's okay. Amen. And it says, thank you, Heavenly Father, that I am your child. I want to know you more and pray that as I seek you through your word and come before your throne of grace and prayer and praise, you will show me more of yourself. Instill in my heart a desire to seek you more and search for you with my whole heart. And I pray that I will discover a depth of your perfect character that I have never seen before. Let me reflect you in thought, word, and deed as Christ is being formed in me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just a little something that I love saying, and I just, I'm thankful. I just want to say I'm thankful because I probably would have never been a part of this. I probably would have never, God laid this on my heart to do this this radio show. But if I would have never met Apostle Carolyn McNeil, if I would have never went to Mount Carmel Church, if I would have never went to the gospel explosion and seen with my own eyes the goodness that was being done for the community, how everybody came together, the mime dancers, the other pastors and the musicians and everybody who came to support. And there's other miracles that I've seen with my own eyes. You know, sometimes we have to allow God to guide our path, even though we don't see it. We don't know what he has planned for us. We have to trust him enough to know that he knows what he's doing. And I just want to say, you know, to the staff of Mount Carmel, period, as a whole, thank you for accepting me. Thank you for allowing me into your spiritual home, your spiritual circle, accepting me for myself, accepting me when I fell, accepting me when I fell, accepting me when I fell, accepting me when I got back up, accepting me as a work in process. And I mean that with everything in me. My life is an open book. I don't, you know, anybody want to know anything? If you want to know, just be sure you want to know before you ask me. But I believe I'm a different person. You know, I've tried other ministry, but it was just something about the prayer. Like, I'm ready to cry because the prayer in that church, the prayers when we got together, when we went out and ministered and the souls came in the church, the changes that I saw in people that came in one way in weeks, days, months, whatever time it took, they went out another way. I know God has called this ministry to do a work, and I refuse to be anything less than what God called me to be. I refuse to allow this ministry to vanish. I refuse for it to disappear off the face of the earth until God takes it off the face of the earth. I refuse not to do what Christ has called Mount Carmel International Church to do, and that's to go to all the nations and do his will. With that being said, thank you, truly, Mount Carmel staff, everybody. Thank you for accepting this lost soul at that time and helping me get fixed. That's why we're on You'll Fix It 6, because I always need to be fixed. Amen. So with that being said, Father God, thank you. And I will seek you wholeheartedly. I will find you. I will seek you until I find you, God. I will spend time seeking you. I will spend time listening to you. I will spend time learning from you. Show me, Holy Spirit, how to be who you called me to be. Lead my life. Lead my life. Lead my life. Lead my life. Let me not fall short of what you called me to do. Let me not put in reverse. Put only forward on my gear shift, Father. I love you and I need you. And we ask you to bless our family, our friends, our church members, everyone that doesn't know you. Send someone their way, God. Send an angel their way. Send a prayer warrior their way. Send an intercessor, prayer warrior. Send a songbird their way. Send someone to help change their life, the way they think, the way they feel. Lift them up, Father God, and hug them in your glorious bosom. We need you. We desire you. We have to have more of you in this nation and in this season and in this time. I bless Pastor Williams, Father God, wherever she may be. Father, keep a hedge of protection around her mind, heart, body, and soul. Keep her in your perfect care. Keep her. Refresh her with joy. Refresh her with a new health, new word, and new you. We ask you all these things in Jesus' name, and even keep our enemies, because you already said they'd be our footstool, but we want you to raise them up to no longer be our enemies. So we thank you, Father God, for what you allowed to happen on this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to close with a song.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, and good night.